Hey guys, this week we have back Andrew Smith, our school counselor, and he is back with some amazing advice for getting your students back into the habit of learning and in that schedule. And I'm sure some of you have been back in school maybe for a few weeks now, but these strategies can be used now even more to help your students stay focused, back in learning. So don't miss out today. A couple things helping your students adapt is having patience. I know sometimes that's hard because you've got a lot to get done and some testing has to happen. All of these things start up again. But one of the things, one of Andrew's advice is to have patience with your students getting back in the swing of things. A couple things. Don't forget to join my Facebook group. We have over 1,000 amazing educators there. Check out the interview. It's going to be live on YouTube. Also, hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. I would love to hear from you. So let's listen in to Andrew today. All right, guys, welcome back to Behavior Strategies for Class. And we have back with us Andrew Smith, our school counselor, and we are going to hear some awesome advice. Please disregard the crazy light flickering in the background. Not really sure what happened there. My husband checked it. We don't know. But anyways, we're going to roll with it, and we are looking for some advice from Andrew today about getting your students back in the swing of things after their luxurious, comfy time off. So I will turn it to you, Andrew.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, luxurious, comfy, all of that good stuff. Not at all uneventful, probably, too, right?
Right.
And then, you know, they wouldn't have like any sort of holiday hangover. That's not like a saying or anything. Yeah. But what I love about this time of the year is that it allows you to kind of slow your pace, because rolling into it softly can help so many ways with so many people, not just the kids, but us as staff too. Because remember, we affect them, they affect us, all of that good stuff. I feel like we're still getting messages from beyond with the light right now.
Exactly. I think that was an agree. That was a nod agree.
Yeah, there we go. That was that. Instead of lightning, they're just, you know, flickering the light now. They've just kind of fine tuned their process. So being able to kind of reconnect, just kind of hit on that last round that we did together, reconnecting with kids and all the different people that are on your team and in your room. Is this is a great time to do that, because we're almost pretty much starting fresh in a lot of ways. One of the things that I like to just kind of reemphasize is that this is a great time because of such a long break that it's almost like starting a whole new year again, not just like the calendar wise, but also the school wise and your classroom wise. So going back and, rebuilding and going over your routines and expectations. Whew, I almost didn't get that out. Your routines and expectations, just revisiting them and making sure that they're right, like they fit for you guys, they fit for your class, people understand what they mean again, kind of getting back in those routines and establishing it. This is such a great time of year to do that. And then rebuilding your community, finding, you know, having your morning circles or your exit circles, or however, which way you do that. That was one of the biggest parts that I loved about working at a middle school that I did, is they were capturing kids' hearts, which is a program for being able to connect with kids to help with decreasing behaviors through relationship connections. And having those greetings at the door is like huge. And, you know, your own personalized greeting. And I remember the waves of like YouTube clips of all the personalized like handshakes and things like that. This is a great time that if you haven't done it before, it's a pretty natural time to be able to like start that. or to just rekindle all of that. And you can have the with COVID, a lot of people came in with the different signs of like, what do you want? Do you want a fist bump? Do you want to like
Right.
an epic high five or just a wave as you go? Those are this is just one of those times where you can start reestablishing a lot of those ways, and then rekindling all of those different connections they have with kids. So that's one
I
of the biggest
agree.
advices I like to give.
Definitely. Because when you greet your students at the door, like you're setting the tone for your classroom. And I worked with a teacher who was a fourth grade teacher, who you probably remember. And he always had great nicknames for his kids. And they could be stupid ones. He just makes up random names for his student, and but they loved it. Like that was their connection, that he would call them, meathead, or I don't know what it was, but he had a cool nickname for every kid and they loved it. I mean, that's along the lines, like you said, making those cool handshakes, personal handshakes, or if you want to come up with nickname, whatever works for you, just to make that atmosphere, a safe, welcoming place for your students, is huge.
When people feel special, when they feel valued, they will go the extra mile for you. They may not be the best in math and science, but if they feel special and valued, they will work till they feel like they're your best science kid, right? They're the Einstein of the class. They're oh man, I'm so bad at math. I don't even know the famous math. They'll be the Madame Curie for you. And I think that's true just for everybody, but kids want that special. And when you greet them, when you start your day that way, you know that there's going to be some special times after that because that's what they're going to want. And some kids, just to kind of reemphasize a thing, that some kids don't come from that. That's not something that's natural to them, except in your classroom. They don't come from a place that's safe or accepting or that they're even tolerated. And that makes it tough, but that also means that that's where that you can be that difference. I always use the analogy of like, we're gas stations on the road of somebody's life. And so for some kids, they're going to stop, they're going to fill up, and they're going to probably get some snacks, have some fun, and then drive on their
Yeah.
way. And for other kids, maybe they're going to take a different turn from stopping where they're at. And you can be that difference in that. And so being able to make that safe spot is just so key with that. And that takes a lot of work. That's easy to say, but do you invest 5 minutes now so that you don't have to spend 2 hours later because something happened and you're missing a trigger? And then it turns into this bigger thing that the 5 minutes of just taking the time, being there with them, greeting them, telling them that they're loved, valued, everything. That can make a difference, not just in your time, but their time. One of the biggest things I also like to do or talk about is if you've had a rough year, what about making a class charter? And all that is just taking those expectations, putting them on a board, and then making a poster out of it, and everybody signs it. All the kids, all your specialists, your principal sometimes, right? Those people that come in, like if you have any paras or anybody, they're in your room just as much as the kids are. So that's the agreement that that's how we're all going to be treated. And that's kind of a holdover from a couple different things, from like capturing kids' hearts, from responsive classrooms. Really, the practice is that you're making an agreement with them as a community. They have as much say in how they want to be treated and felt. And then what happens if they don't feel that way? And some of those kinds of consequences going from there. So, those are some great ways if it's been a rougher year just to restart it, and to establish something new so that you have a community right there that gets to be able to like call each other out on that. And I've seen kids who like they come up with special signs of like, I'm calling you out, like I see you, like
Yeah.
Johnny, he's not sitting on his pockets, and he, like three of his friends are like, "I see you, I see you," and they're calling him out on it. And that takes the, you know, when the kids, when the social, with social pressures on there, that you don't have to spend the 5 minutes to do that, to address Johnny always being on the pockets, because his buddies are like, "Stop it, dude, I want to hear the story." That takes just that extra weight off. Yeah.
Yeah, because then they feel like they have ownership. You know, they have
Yes.
that ownership, they have that voice, and they know that they can hold their peers accountable and say, you know, I'm trying to do this over here. What are you doing? Like, can't you be quiet or whatever it is? Like, I've definitely seen that as well. Like, kids just love that. They take that ownership. Like, this is their room, their family. And they want it to be the best they can be. And to go back to the greeting, I would say even just calling your students by name. You know, I know sometimes we get in the habit like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Hey, friend, you know, whatever it is. But sometimes even just calling them by name, like that can make them just feeling special, you know, because then it just reminds them like they do know your name. You know, granted, I've definitely been one of those, hey, buddy. Yeah, because I don't
What's up,
remember his
slugger?
name.
Yeah.
You know, so,
Absolutely.
you know, I would even say that. So you don't have to come up with a nickname or whatever, but just, you know, and making that eye contact that, you know, so glad you're here. You know, it just gets them excited. They own it. They're ready to learn. They're ready to be engaged. Like it just affects everybody in the room. And granted, you know, there's definitely going to be times where some kids will be like, whatever. Like they're not into it. They don't care. At least that's what they're going to
They're going to show
reflect.
you.
Yeah. But you know, deep down, even those, you know, challenging, extra challenging students, like they like it, even though there's, you know, they'll probably tell you no, but like I would not stop, you know, or go around that kid to get some, like, no, you still acknowledge them, you still encourage them, and you still let them know like they are valued, they are cared for in your classroom.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it just, you know, that accountability tells them, so later on, so that lays the groundwork, and it just tells them that, you know, I know who you are. I'm happy you're here. If you make a mistake, you can fail in here and it's gonna be okay. 'Cause I mean, you know, second grade, fifth grade, seventh, eighth, even high school, we're gonna fail some things. That's how you learn sometimes, right? That's how I learned a lot anyway. A lot of failing and then learning how to like recover from there. And you know, 5 plus 3 isn't 10, it's gonna be 8, and we're gonna be okay with that and just move it on. But it all starts with just even that greeting, just the, "Huh, I'm okay here." That's the biggest part.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
it literally, and that's one thing that I feel like I'm a little spoiled in my current building, is that there's three or four of us that, being on the specials rotation, I see all the kids, but our instructional coach and my principal, most days we're getting kids out of the car, not only just to learn their names, but just to start off the day right. And then we have our safety patrol or job corps. You know, everybody kind of has like a little different thing where some of the other kids, the older kids, help do that. And so not only are they getting
Oh, that's
greeted at
awesome.
the classroom, yeah, they get greeted out the door, the parents get greeted, and you know, "Hey, have a nice day. You know, good to see you again. You know, yeah, my Jets lost, but you know, it's okay." And your Chiefs look like they're bouncing back up. You know, just those like 2 second conversations help brighten people's day. And that's how they start before they walk in the building. And then if they get you at the door where you're doing that, then they've had one, two, you know, sometimes three or four
Oh,
positive
yeah.
interactions before they've even picked up a pencil. And if we know what you know about research wise, the more positive interactions you have, like the 8 to 1 or the 5 to 1, depending on what you read, that just you're just laying the foundation. You're throwing out all those great kudos to them and just going to build them up so that maybe if they have a harder day, they still have like 20, 30 different things throughout the day of just some goodness and maybe one bad one, but then all the other stuff kind of helps bring them back up. So it's just there's lots of different ways that we can do this. But the idea being that we just get to them to let them know that they're valued, they're special, they're people.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. That's great to be able to greet them and just really acknowledge them because, again, you may be that only caring adult who does actually see them, and like you said, whether or not they have a great day or whether it really changes their mood per se, they still feel it. They still know, like somebody did see me today. Like, ooh, that gives me goosebumps. And now I don't know what else is flickering in here, but it's totally fine.
You see, like Dan Aykroyd or anybody coming through, then I'll start worrying. That's the
Yeah,
old
if
school
somebody starts
Ghostbusters in
floating
you.
around, like, please tell me.
I'll give you the signal. It'll be the ICU part, right?
But I know maybe switching a little bit as far as you talked about some of the older kids greeting, like at some of the schools I've been at, they have older kids, what are their peer partners or their kindergarten buddies or I think it's so important too is having those older kids come and encourage and be able to read to their younger peers. I mean, I think that is just huge as well for students. What do you think?
I totally agree. For one thing, it just helps them show that modeling that is so key for so many young kids of it's not just, it's not old man Smith getting on my case about walking in the hallway. It's I've got this fifth or sixth grader now because our school goes up to sixth. They're all in a line and they're all like I know like three of them and they're like celebrities. Right, because they're the older kids, or the cool kids on the block, right? As we used to say back in the day. And it just shows that modeling, but it also creates those long-standing ties too, just between the different levels, because it's sometimes somebody else's brother or sister, right? And in our community, it seems, it's Omaha, so it's about sometimes the size of Denver, depending on how you tweeze it out. But these kids will see each other throughout their journey in education. They'll track up to through the same schools, and so being able to like make those nice community connections because they're also doing scouts together, they're doing all those things. So establishing that is pretty key because it keeps the older kids having some accountability in their own ways as being leaders, but it also gives them a chance to kind of flex those skills that we don't necessarily grade. Those leadership, those empathy skills, those compassion skills that kids maybe don't always have that opportunity to show. Where I've seen some of the most troubled kids who are the most amazing in helping others and younger kids. And it's been like, how do we tap that in and how do we get them to know that that's an amazing part of them? I have a kiddo who we're working with right now who we have some nonverbal kids and he starts his day off and he is the most amazing helper with. He will be, having a rough day, and he's going to tell you how you're lacking, why you're lacking, and how you need to pick it up, and to all those different words and everything that are we call them red letter words. But he will sit there and stop, and he will bend over backwards to help one of those kids who's going throughout the building or spending time with them. So it shows you just another unique way of your kids and how they can be special and unique. And unique, how your unique kids are unique, but it gives them a different way to exercise their accountability and their emotional maturity that we don't always have sometimes, right?
And I think it also, again, like you said, just kind of validates who they are and who they can become even more. I remember that too at a previous school. That a couple of gen ed students would want to come in to the special needs room, and I mean, they would just sit on the floor and sit with them and play and I mean, yeah, it's just awesome to see that growth and be able to encourage those students in that way, because you never know how that's going to affect them down the road and what their career path could even be. So, yeah, I think it just says huge and just builds again, like you said, the community, the connection, not only to the adults in the school, but to their peers, and to feel that, I guess welcomeness or to be able to encourage, like you said, as the years go on and they see their same buddy or whatever and be able to touch base on that. I think that's pretty awesome. So I know I kind of got us off track a little bit, but what would be one other bit of advice you have for us with getting our students back into the swing of things?
Patience. I mean, it's say it all the time, but it's easy to say, hard to do. Like I tell my kids, it's easy to say, but that's hard to do. Especially because we want to hit the ground running, but some of our kids kind of just rehashing that is some kids, they had amazing loving families, they had structure, they had all of that, and some didn't. And so everybody's showing up on that day, right? Everybody shows up this first day back. So having some patience and being willing to maybe go a little slow in order to go fast later. Like, what's that saying? It's from the military, the Marines, slow is smooth and smooth is fast, right? Getting back in the swing, getting your reading targets, you're not going to hit right now. I mean, we have 2 days. Let's work on that next week. Let's just get those expectations back. Let's get them reading a book first. Let's pull out the graphic novels, pull out the, we have deer time, which is drop everything and read. So it's like
Oh,
once or twice a
cool.
week or a month. And yeah, it's just this extra time, and everybody is committed to just finding a book and reading. Whether it's your level, whether you're reading to a buddy class, whether you're reading to yourself, your teacher, whatever, you just drop everything and read. So maybe that's just your time right there. And then all the specialized interventions and everything next week. We got a full week next week, unless there's a snow day, which I got my fingers crossed,
I know, always.
but that's going slow to go fast later. Right, build those blocks, make sure everybody's valued, everybody is safe, all of those different things, and then that just lays that foundation to be able to start going back into things in full force later. But slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Having patience is just so key.
Awesome.
Excuse me.
Yes. Yeah, so some more amazing advice from Andrew. Got all of these A's in here, and we so appreciate you being here again. And we look forward to our next advice from Andrew. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you.